the plantations, they found they needed something to keep their soul, their person stable. In what was called, it wasn't called rhythm and blues, it was called soul music. Why was it called soul music? Your soul is your person. That's what makes me up. I'm a living soul. You can't save a lost spirit, you save a lost soul. You're an individual. And in my makeup, there is emotions, there's feelings. You have disappointment, you have success, you have blessing, you have things that come in your life that make you sway. You know that you sway inside. You know your heart goes, am I right? Is that what it does, Dr. Kane? Your heart goes, is anybody's heart here tonight not beating? Is there anybody, their heart is not beating? And we, Brendan, we will pray for you at the end of the service. Don't worry about it. Have you a will made? Make sure you spell my name right. Okay, make a note. Because in the soul music, in the place of despair, and the mistreatment in the plantations, and the mistreatment of lives of people, their soul was in despair. I think it fits in very well with what we look at in testing. And sometimes your spirit is, God, I love you, God, I want to bless you, God, I love you. So, but inside, you're going, good, bad, good, bad. In soul music, in that rhythm, is designed that the soul, when it's going through those emotions, it doesn't linger on one side. It goes back over again to the other side. And it goes back again. Okay, another trial. You're just speaking about the white horse. And there are a lot of horses in Revelation. A few black ones. And you have a black horse tries to bring you down, and a white horse bring you up. In soul music, in the plantation, in the fields, they would sing. You could hear it in this beautiful chorus of music. And the soul was crying out to God. And there was a beat to it. And the beat kept a rhythm with the life, with the heart, and kept the person alive and able to persevere in the midst of immense pain, anguish, degradation, everything that came about. Briefly, jazz music, especially traditional jazz, does not give you that. Traditional jazz came out of a realm of this which was depressive. People who didn't make it. In the makeup of jazz music, there's always a note that's a discord. It's called a 13th note, by the way. And that note, because the Bible in many parts is made up of a musical context, especially the Psalms and some of the other books. They were sung. You sing the song. We read them. And there are Psalms that have a note of discord. Let you know my life's not right. Something needs to change. Something needs to be brought into order. Jazz music lives off a discord, brings a depressive weight upon the person, brings it down. But in the soul music, at night, especially at night, in many of the plantation, you could hear the sound of the soul reaching up to heaven, reaching up to God. That's why many of those songs came from that background. We may get rhythm and blues. That's when the electric could come in with all the other stuff. Okay, but the other, way back in the many early days, the soul music was vibrant with the gospel and his presence. The purpose of testings. Your soul is a very important part of this. Things affect your life. Things touch your life. Things come around your life you don't expect. You want to serve God. You're not backslidden. You're not going to walk away from God, but you're just not in gear. Testings has a purpose to it. Go ahead, Bill. There are a purpose for the testings that you'll go through. Romans 5:3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. They help you develop endurance. Now, testings are there for your good. I know I'm off to a bad start. But they are good for you because endurance is what allows your person to overcome or succeed or come through battles and trials whenever you yourself personally don't know how to handle it. Endurance. I'm keeping going. I will not stop. I will keep moving through this. If you haven't been tested, then you don't know what your endurance level is. You don't know at what level you can function. Many years ago, I was in college I went to college in the States, and I was with a lot of the guys were out of the Vietnam era. And I used to sit beside this guy, Danny Miller. He was from Florida. And he was in the nuclear submarines. He said the first test that you went through was you were put in a big tube, which was 100 feet deep of water, a tube, big round tube. And they put you in this particular bath, and the bath brought you up into this tube, and you could not breathe until you had reached the top, 100 feet up. And they watched you and monitored you all the way as you went to the top from 100 feet. And the reason for that was to find out your endurance. Physically, what can you endure? Sometimes we look at these things, it's all mental. No, your endurance involves a physical response. I will serve the Lord. I don't have to think about that. You get past that place. I will bless the Lord. I will magnify the Lord. That's not mine. That's an endurance of my soul that has been determined in my person. Afterwards, Danny told me, when you got to the top, the doctors, they pulled you out. Then you went through a mental examination. What were you thinking in that tube? What were you thinking while you were trying to get to the top? What were you thinking? Well, afterward. The test comes first. Because you don't have time to think about the test. It just happens. It's after it's over. What has happened to me? What is it? That's dangerous if you haven't got endurance. The test of faith. Your faith has to be tested. Let me show you this. Mark 9:23, New American Standard, NAS. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him or her who believes. It's in the singular tense. All things. Now, how could things be singular? Well, one event in your life has many strands. Oh, I have a pain. Oh, I have a pain in my arm. Okay? The pain is in one location. What's the first thing that happens? Oh, I'm going to lose my arm. Oh, they'll take my arm off. You see? It's like a web, but it's singular. Sometimes this verse, all things are possible to him who believes. I've been around people, worked with people. Oh, I'm going to believe God for a Rolls Royce, or a Porsche, or a new house, or a home in the Mediterranean. Oh, I'm going to believe God. All things are possible. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. You haven't even got over the first hurdle yet of being able to believe God in the midst of providing for your daily provision. Yet you're way down the road here, and you're going to believe God for all this stuff, and you're going to, some people, wherever they get this one from, they're going to win the lottery. And God's not in that to start with. He's not in those things. People turn this into something that the Bible is not speaking. That's not a test of faith, those things. That's a test of your personal desires. And God's not in that. He's not into that. The word here is used, if you can, all things are possible to him or her who believes. Where are you at tonight in the test of faith to get you through to tomorrow? Where are you at? Because life can be a string of things in your life and events that cause nothing but pain and disruption and a disturbance to you because you cannot overcome in one particular thing. One thing can pull your life apart for years and years and decades. I've watched people with this. I've watched it. They have this concept of believing God for all these things in life, and yet the basic fundamental structure, the basis of their life, is in bits. I went through this years ago in pastoring, and this particular man. Like, he got it in his mind. I can believe God for all things. I spoke to him. Don't get into debt. Oh, God will take care of this debt. I can believe God. He had borrowed money all across the church. Then I found out about it. I mean, borrowed money from these businessmen. That wasn't faith. And these men began to question him because he didn't pay it back. Well, he was going to pay back 50%. Well, that's ridiculous. Start with. You see, if you don't establish the fundamentals, the basis of your life correctly, and recognize that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. What does that mean? It means that I can face today and tomorrow, and Lord, I can believe you to take me through it. I believe, Lord, if you do not do anything for me, you are with me and not against me. You will provide for me, and I will see your goodness. I will see you come. I believe your word. That's before you step into this area of all things being possible. You need a position in life where you have strength. You can be a Christian and be a very weak person. You can't. Because there's no endurance and the test of faith for all things. You haven't mastered that which creates in your life a position where you can come to God and say, now God, I believe that you can do this for me. And you start to move forward. You have a peace about it. Not presumption. The havoc that man caused, it was unreal. Unreal. Nothing to do with God. It wasn't faith. It was everybody else's money. Faith provides for you when nothing else does. It provides a peace. A peace. There has to be a ruling peace. And faith works in many ways. Sometimes I have to trust other people. Sometimes I have to believe that this other people, things will happen. I have to say, God, I have to trust. The test of faith. In your life, you're maybe going through an area of this tonight, of a test in one area. One area. And through this, what happens is it comes, you come through it with a test of humility. Where there's pride in a person's life that's speaking about their faith, I'm always nervous. Oh, I can believe God for that. Barry, why don't you believe God with me? I watch the spirit. Because the spirit tells you an awful lot about what's going on inside the person and how they think about things. You see, where there's humility, there's an understanding in that person that only God can do this. Maybe you've never been there. Maybe you haven't. Some of you have, I know. I've lived long enough in the Christian life to experience there's things that only God can do. Now, I am a great believer from my father, my late father, on the work ethic. Son, have you done all you can do here? Have you worked hard through this? My dad didn't get saved to later on in life. He was 58 years of age when he came to Christ. But there's that realm of your life where the humility aspect of your life is what God is after. It's not something you can buy a book on. 12 Steps of Humility. You know, and how I made it successfully all by myself. And how wonderful I am now that I'm humble. No. Humility has no language. Did you know that? It's got no language. It only has an appearance. It only has an appearance. You cannot describe humility. But you are aware of it in the person's being, their makeup. They have a humility. A humility that walks, it walks with them. They walk in it. They're clothed, the Bible says, clothed in humility. You put it on. It's like putting on a dress, lady. Men, it's like putting on something. Feel comfortable. I feel comfortable. You're not comfortable with pride because you're agitated. The test of humility, very, very important. Most people in years gone by in college that they didn't make it through college because of pride. It didn't work out the way they expected. It didn't work out the way they had planned. It didn't work out with what they thought should have been the results. Their pride brings them low. Humility is the opposite. You want to go somewhere in God? Get on the elevator that's going down. Let God exalt you in due season. Let him do it. And those who I've watched in many, many years in ministry and church life and many walks of life, their humility brought them through things when nothing else would. Nothing else would. Their humility stood out in the midst of defeat, in the midst of loss, in the midst of despair, in the midst of hurt. They kept their spirit in a place before God. Didn't get angry, didn't get arrogant. I'll get back, I'll get even. No, they kept humility. It's a big test. It is a big test in people's life. The world tells you, you've got to climb over everybody to get there. God says, no, you've got to become a servant to others to get there. That's the complete opposite. To serve the house of God, to serve other people, to be a blessing, to be a strength. It helps you overcome failure. It really does. It helps you overcome at times when you felt, why did this not happen? Okay, God, I leave it with you. I leave it with you. Pride says, I'm going to take it myself. Humility declares, I'll give it to God. Go ahead, Bill. Young people, in 1 Peter 5:5, God's words translation, in a similar way, place yourselves under the authority of spiritual leaders. Place yourself. Don't ask for anything. Don't expect anything. Don't look for anything. Just place yourself. Why have I emphasized this, young people? Place yourself. In other words, you're not looking for anything. You're positioning yourself. Oh, but I'm this, I can do this, I can, oh, but I, you don't know what I can do. You just need to place yourself. You let God come for it. If man exalts you, I guarantee you one thing. You'll be tested by man. And that means a big, big failure. You place yourself under God, let God test you. And when he has proven it, he said, now let me do this with you. Wow, really, God? Yeah, okay, let me do it. Okay, God, I'll submit to that. Place yourself under authority of the spirit leaders. Furthermore, all of you must serve each other with humility because God opposes the arrogant but favors the humble. Favors the humble. God's favor rests. That's a big thing to me, is God's favor. Are you with me in this, God? Are you with me? I have done things in life, and God wasn't there. Herod, I'd love to tell you I was a great success. No, it went wrong. And I stood back from it, and I said, what exactly happened there? You know what happened? It's very thing. God was opposing what I was doing, but I was stubborn in my early Christian walk and didn't listen. You looked at it last week, God was saying, no, I didn't have favor in it. You don't want God to oppose you. You don't want that. Because he opposes the arrogant, but favors the humble. 1 Peter 5:5, read 1 Peter, read the book. Humility brings you to a place of favor in God. Test of endurance. Just go ahead. Well, First Peter 5:10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to this eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I think that's a powerful verse. I would encourage you this week, read the book of 1 Peter. I know you're studying Ephesians, but on your own personal life. Restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Maybe you've been hit a few times over the last couple of years or whatever. Maybe you need restored. Maybe you need confirmation. God, I know this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. Strengthen you. And then establish you. Being established is a big thing. That's a whole point on its own. Being established. Knowing who you are. When the chips are down, you know who you are. When things are this way, you know who you are. When things are up, you know who you are. Being established as a person. Not blown about with everything. These tests are important. The test of temptation. Go ahead, Bill. Go ahead. Mark 7:21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders. Within. In your heart, men conceive these thoughts because we have a fallen nature. How can I get even? This is a test. This is a test within. Adultery, fornication, murders, whatever. How can I get back? How can I get my own back here? This is a big test. Temptation. Don't do it. Don't do it. You wait. You wait and let God take you to the place where he can guide you through it. And he can guide your life through these matters. A test of appreciation. It's a biggie. Appreciation. Just go ahead, Bill. A test of appreciation. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances. Appreciation. But this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I know for many, the church here provides a position, place where we can have food, we can have provision, appreciation. Our society has somewhat lost this appreciation. It's gimme, 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 and why not, why not, why not? Appreciation. I bring appreciation down, having traveled, and especially going back years ago when the communist world was very vibrant. I was in nations where people did not have the liberty where we have right now. Didn't have it. It was scary. They didn't have the liberty to speak openly because they didn't know who they were speaking to in churches. Be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful when it's not going your way. We live in a country tonight, whether you like it or whether you don't, you can complain all you want, but we have a freedom to do this. There's a freedom. It's still here. That's why I encourage you to pray. If you lose this, you lose it. There's a fear. I felt that fear. In the communist bloc years ago, when the walls were first coming down, I was in Russia. I was in various nations. A fear in the people. You could see it written all over their life. We don't have that. Do we appreciate it? I trust you do. I trust you appreciate it. Because you don't realize it until you've lost it. And that's what happens in society. The only thing we ever learn from history is we never learn from history until we lose it. In all circumstances, I wish it was this way. Let me tell you something. The candlestick maker wants to be the plumber. The plumber wants to be the baker. And on and on and on. And there's no end to it. Because our fallen nature, we do not appreciate the fact of this body, the way it works. And my wife has been through battle after battle this last few years, and we just say, thank you, Lord, in all circumstances, and is still alive and well and doing better. Be a person who is appreciative for what happens. The test of obedience. Hebrews 11:8, NIV. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I think I'm living through a little bit of this at the minute. In a number of aspects of working at ministry through Europe and prayer teams, etc., we're working through. I'm trying to work through some things, and it's uncharted territory for me. But I have to believe God in the middle of it. Even though he did not know where he was going, sometimes I'm trying to work through it with the prayer network of Europe, which Anne and I have been asked to be part of. We were asked to take it up. It involves over 500 ministries of material we provided for them. I'm trying to chart it out because Europe is in such upheaval. Europe is in a place of total disruption in so many ways, in agriculture, in the arts, in education, in business. There's total confusion. And it's all part of the Ezra Day prayer network I'm putting together, that we begin to pray according to the time of the Reformation with Martin Luther. They had a list of things that Europe needed. Do you know something? That list is identical today, 400 years later. We need another Reformation. We need God to come to Europe. Eileen O'Connor, in your lifetime, the changes that you have watched, could you have believed it, some of the things that are taking place today? We become numb. Numb. Our churches in Europe, numb. We speak of Ukraine, and Boris Johnson said there's a kind of regarding Ukraine at the moment, people are just kind of weary. They're tired listening. That's dangerous. You become tired of your appreciation. You become tired of what's provided. You become tired in your faith. You become tired in obedience. You become tired. Dangerous. Dangerous. Do not become weary in well-doing. Stand firm, because sometimes you don't know where you're going. You don't. But you keep moving forward and keep praying, keep worshiping, and keep faithful in his presence. Well, by faith, he made his home, Hebrews 11:9, in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. He made his home. Sometimes you've got to make your home just in the place of faith without knowing the outcome. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't know the answer, that's not wrong. You don't know the path, that's not wrong. It's good for you. It's a test. It's a test. It takes you on. Go ahead, Bill. Hebrews 11:10, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. In your searching in the life of faith, in your walk through your Christian life, especially for a younger Christian, you're actually looking for foundations. Who am I? What am I here for? And is this all there is to it? And what will become of me? No. You're looking for a foundation whose architect and builder is God. And when you go through what we went through here tonight, you will find your foundations become solid in the house of God. People like Nuala Bray and Anna and others and many people here, there's just a few. Years of testing. Years. Years. Okay, we have guys, please. We have picture of your life. Thank you, thank you. Years of testing. They're still here. Years of searching for the architect and the builder, who is God. Still here. Why? The foundations are right. Get your foundations right. I will be in the house of God. Good days, bad days, indifferent day, whatever day. I'm foundation. When you build a building like this, it takes the rain, it can take snow, it can take wind, it can take the sun. It's built to do everything. It's built by the architect to keep us covered. It's not foundations are not right. It won't last. When the foundations are right, it doesn't matter what test you've gone through, you will come through the other end. Amen. Worship team, come back. Let's stand together. Let's worship the Lord before we pray tonight. We've been looking at the cosmic powers. There's many other tests, many, many other tests that it speaks of, but that's enough. It's enough to work on. You get through these, you're doing good. You're doing pretty well. Would you agree, Sister Pam? That would cover part of the territory. You know why? Those that I put up here, I just picked those through, looked at them,